Emerge Community Church podcast. We pray that the Lord would use this resource to speak to your heart and that it would bring you defiant hope and joy in whatever season you're in. We hope you enjoy and are encouraged by this message.
It's more important to have him than it is the answer to any question, right? Because if you have him and you walk with him, you'll get there. And so, even if you're wrong, or, you know, well, if you walk with him, he'll change that. If you're off base or whatever, it's way more important that you have him. We're going to do communion. Thank you, worship team. You guys rock. I love you guys. You guys are awesome. Yeah. Thank God for these guys. I'm so impressed by their hearts. More than any talent or ability, I'm so impressed by their hearts. And Ty and I talk often about, like, just, and really everybody in the worship team, anytime I talk with anybody, it's more like, it's always like, hey, we got to keep focused on lifting up Jesus and honoring Jesus. That is like our focus, and we're going to just stay there. And so I just so appreciate that heart. That's right. That's right. Because if you do that, if you honor Jesus, everything comes with it. Seek first the kingdom, right? So, yeah, if you don't have communion, Tim is walking around. He's got the communion cups. You can just give him a little wave. He'll hook you up. We've got some at the back table as well, kind of near the sound booth if you want to grab it. Kids are staying in for communion, and then we'll dismiss them after that if there's a question mark. The kids like communion. I used to love communion as a kid. I was like, sweet, I get juice and crackers. It is about more than that. It is. It is. Yeah. And so kids, it's important to hear this too, right? So it is about more than the juice and the crackers. But it's also not about the juice and the crackers, because we're supposed to taste and see that the Lord is good. There is this parallel between eating food and drinking drink that is good, experiencing it as good, having it fill you, and what Jesus is trying to communicate, which is that he wants to feed you, feed your heart, feed your soul, feed your very being with his life, his eternal life. In the middle of this temporary place, eternal life, he wants to fill you with it, answer your questions, be your answer to everything. And so I'm not going to belabor this. We're going to take it. Jesus gives you his body. And it was broken for you. He gives you his body. It was broken for you. For your salvation. For saving you. So we take in your salvation, God. And we acknowledge it's good. Your salvation tastes good. We don't earn it. We receive it. We eat it. And we take it in today. Just like manna in the desert. It's our daily bread. Thank you, God. And we take the cup, we take the blood, we remember intentionally that all of our sins have been washed away. We've been redeemed, we've been called back home, as a son gets called back, as a distant son who's been far away gets called back home, and all of our sins and all of our prodigal living is gone. He wipes it away. We come, God, we've done all this, and he just wipes it away. God, get that out of here, come in for a hug. The Father's love is that incredible, where it is so far gone, he doesn't see it. He washed it clean. So thank you, God, for your blood. Thank you, Jesus, for dying for us. Thank you, Father, for sending him. We believe in you. Take the cup. Yeah, forgiveness tastes good, doesn't it? It tastes good. All right, kids, thank you so much. I hope you enjoyed service and worship. You're going to have a wonderful time in kids' ministry. Please get up and walk to the back. Not too fast, if you don't mind. I love you guys. You guys are awesome. Look at these obedient, awesome kids. Man, oh man. Let's give them a hand. Yeah, kids. You guys rock. You guys are great too. You know, I was thinking about communion. Well, I've been thinking a lot about a lot of stuff. My brain has been very full, and I've been giving it all to God and asking him, God, just parse this out. Make this something that is healthy and helpful. And I was thinking about, in John 6, there's this story. It's right after Jesus feeds the 5,000. You know that story maybe, right? He multiplies the bread and the loaves and the fishes, and he feeds a multitude of people, like 5,000 men, more people than that, if you include women and children, feeds them. And it's amazing, he goes over to the other side of the lake, and the people hear about the fact that, oh, he got on a boat over, he didn't, but they crossed over to the other side of the lake in the middle of the night. The people who were fed hear that, and they go, oh, let's go get him. So they travel to the other side of the lake, and they find Jesus. And Jesus strikes up this conversation with them and talks about the bread that they're supposed to have. And he makes some statements that we understand now, but in the moment in which he said them, nobody understood what he was talking about. Now, they could have understood, but it was a reach. He says, unless you drink my flesh and or unless you eat my flesh and drink my blood, you will by no means enter the kingdom of heaven. And they're struggling that he draws, and he does draw a parallel, but this is as far as the explanation really goes. It doesn't go much farther than this. He goes, just like the children of Israel ate the manna that God sent, I am the true bread from heaven. Unless, and I say it, I'll say it again. My flesh and my blood are true bread and true drink. And unless you drink them, you won't enter. And they're going, ah, Jesus, this is really a hard thing you're saying. Because you got to realize this. When Jesus said this, the Last Supper hadn't happened yet. He didn't break the bread yet and say, this is my body which is broken for you. They didn't understand the foreshadowing of the cross. And in John 6, at that time, at least in that gospel, Jesus hadn't really said a whole lot yet about his crucifixion and where he was going to go and how the chief priest was going to, you know. He didn't give them that. How do you receive that if you're following Jesus? Something Dwayne said last week that I was like, yep, that's really right, is he was talking about how you have to learn how to receive a ministry gift. Well, they even had to learn how to receive Jesus. Jesus was perfect. Everything he said was from God. They didn't know how to receive that word from Jesus in that moment. They said, Jesus, this is too hard for us. But he just stuck to his guns. He didn't explain it. He just kind of was like, no, this is the truth. There you go, guys. And so a lot of these were not the Pharisees. These were not the people challenging him. These were people who were hungry for him. And he just gives them this, and they go, this is too hard. And a lot of the people left because it was too hard of a saying. They couldn't understand it. And so then when they leave, Jesus turns to the other disciples, and he says, are you guys going to go too? He's just like not really all that concerned about that. But I did ask this question because I was praying. I was thinking, God, like, okay, if you're in their shoes, because you got to put yourself in their shoes. It'd be like, this is going to be weird and gross, but it was kind of weird and gross for him to say that back then in the context, right? If I were to say, guys, unless you eat my toenails, you're not going to experience God's love. You'd be like, what are you talking about, Jack? It might have had that ring to it. Drink your blood, Jesus? That's gross. Don't say that. You know? So I put myself in their shoes, and I asked the question, I said, if I'm in their shoes, and I do care, would I stay with Jesus? Would I walk with him? Huh. Because chances are I didn't understand. Chances are I wouldn't have. Maybe I would have kind of gotten like he's being metaphorical, maybe. But it's still really weird. And I think I would have. I'd like to think I would have. We all like to think we would have. Well, it's kind of like, you know, throughout history, we all like to think, you know, if we lived in Germany in like the 1930s and 40s, none of us would have supported the Nazis, right? We all like to think that, but the reality is a lot of people in that country supported the Nazis, and they're just human beings like you or me. So what triggered that? These psyopses, right? These psychological things that happen affect people of which we are. And so we all like to think we wouldn't do the wrong thing, but would we? And I think the reason I would have And I'm being honest about this. I think the reason I would have kept walking with Jesus is not because I understood. I think it's because I would have been like, he fed me. He's saying he's the bread of life. He's saying unless I eat him and drink him, I'm not entering. And he did feed me just a couple days ago, the feeding of the 5,000. He did feed me. I was hungry. I had no place to get food. They were going to send me away hungry. And he said, no, I'm not sending you away hungry. Here's food. I think I would have stayed. And, I was thinking about this idea of receiving the ministry gifts, receiving Jesus in different forms. It's just one thing to receive Jesus, right? Well, we can look back with hindsight and say, oh, well, of course, it's Jesus. He's perfect. He's God in flesh. Like, even if he says something weird, you have to take it. You don't have a choice, you know? But what about with imperfect people who sometimes just say weird things, and they're just weird things? They're not like God. What? How do you handle this? And, well, that's me too sometimes, right? Even ministering to you. And I was thinking about there's been two people outside of people that I know, right? I know a lot of people here. You guys have influenced me. I've influenced you. Outside of people that I know who I have direct contact with, who have direct insight into my life, there have been two people that I look at and say they are probably the most impactful people that have impacted me. I would not probably be up here preaching had those two people not ministered to me, actually. I think true. And they're two very different people, and one has impacted me way more than the other, but there's two. The first one is a guy named Don Carson. Does anyone know who Don Carson is? You might not know who Don Carson is. You should know who Don Carson is. He's wonderful. He's the head of the Gospel Coalition, a brilliant theologian, probably one of the foremost like theologians of our day, and speaks and teaches with such clarity. I mean, I've never heard anyone else, just for me, okay? And this isn't like saying that he is the most clear. It's just when I read his stuff, I'm just like, man, I've never read something more clearly outlining this passage of Scripture than when he does it. And because he's so comprehensive. This is the thing. He covers everything, and he explains it in great detail. He covers all of the different perspectives that people have, like, comprehensively. I mean, like, he knows all of the viewpoints on this, and he goes through one by one and says why this one's not right, why this one's not right, and why he leans towards this one, and this one is probably the correct view. And it's very just laid out. Beautiful. Pristine. It's like, you know, when you're driving down the street, or maybe it's like a golf course, and it's like the pristine golf course, well-manicured greens. It's like just beautiful, you know? Gives you this sense of safety as well, right? Like, oh, I'm reading this, and it's helping me know with certainty what the truth is. I love that. Really helpful in my life, and you do need that sometimes. He's a great ministry gift, okay? That's Don Carson. Love Don Carson. You should read Don Carson. But the second guy who's impacted me the most, way more than anybody else, it's not even close. And this, again, I want to reiterate this. It's not because these guys are the best. Take best or whatever out of the equation. It's just these are the people who impacted me, okay? Worship leader named Jason Upton, who some of you know, many of you probably have no idea. And I look back on his impact in my life, and here's the first thing. I say worship leader, and you have this thing in your mind of somebody who like sings songs and you join in with them, but that's not really who he is. I don't want to be mean about who he is, but he is a little bit weird. Like, he's different. And when I first encountered him, I was probably like 12 years old. My older brother, who was also a worship leader, like found him somehow and was like, Jack, you got to come hear this guy with me. And so I'd go with my older brother, Paul. And he would come to Michigan pretty frequently, kind of traveled around, traveling worship ministry. And when I first encountered him with Paul, this was in the early days of Jason's ministry, and he had not written very many songs yet, I don't think. He had a few, but not very many. And I remember going, okay, I'm going to go to a worship service, and I'd show up, and it was not like a worship service I had ever seen before. Jason would just get up, and he would just sing. He wouldn't sing songs. It's not like he gets up and plays Shout to the Lord and we all sing Shout to the Lord. Shout to the Lord. Like, no. He would just get up and play, and it would be spontaneous. It's almost like, you know, like, wow, don't know. He would just sing whatever God put into his heart. And there was no way that you could, like, sing with him because you don't know what he's going to sing. He doesn't know what he's going to sing. He's just going to sing whatever comes. So as like a 12-year-old kid, you might be asking, like, how do you get ministered to by somebody? I don't know. I think as a 12-year-old, I just didn't know any better. Like, I think that's part of it. I just didn't know any better. So I'm coming in and going, Paul likes this guy. Maybe he's got something for me. And as all middle school kids, I'd say all, maybe not all, but I think probably most, they don't really know who they are yet. I was kind of coming to that place where I was like realizing that I am a human being and I have no sense of identity. I don't know why I'm here. Even as a young kid, I was probably a little bit of a deeper thinker. And so I was going, God, I don't know why I'm here. I don't know why you made me. I don't know. I feel really awkward. I feel like I can't connect with people. I feel like I'm just like kind of taking up space on the earth and I have no purpose or destiny. I know I'm 12, so I know I've got a long time to figure this out, but I'd really like some help because it's kind of bumming me out. And so I came to these services and he would just sing stuff out that was like right on line with where I was. It was questions I was asking God about identity. He'd sing about this identity of what it means to be a child of God and this identity of being loved. And it might sound generic to you when I say it, but when he would sing it, there was a specificity to it. It would match the verbiage in my heart. Like, for example, there was this one time I was asking God, I was like, God, I don't know how to talk to you. I don't know where you are. Like, where are you? It feels like I had had some, like, encounters with God, right? I had had some. And I was like, it felt like I heard you there, but now when I pray, it just feels like you're not there. It feels like you move around, and I can't keep track of where you are. And so where are you? I don't know where you are. Like, I can't hear you. I don't know. And so I go, and so Jason's singing this song, and he stops in the middle of it, and he goes, guys, when Jesus said, I'll never leave you nor forsake you, he meant it. And he's not moving around. He's in the same place he called you when the first time he called you. He's in that same place. He's not moving around. He's right there. And I'm going, I mean, these are the questions I'm asking God, and then I'm getting these answers. And it's like, so just to help you understand, but the thing about Jason is that Jason was mega weird. And I softened it, but especially in his early days, he's mellowed over the years. But when in those early days, he would do some weird stuff, guys. Like, I remember one, like, it's maybe even on a CD, I think. It's on one of the CDs. He would play and sing, and he would just, there was one time he just started singing like a baby who didn't have words. La, 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 la. Like, I'm not joking. You can hear it. It's on the CD. La, 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 la. Well, what's going on there, right? I mean, it's weird, but I think I understand. I think that's the way in which we feel when we first come to God as baby Christians. We don't know what to say. We don't know how to use words, but eventually, just like children and babies learn how to babble their way through it, we get to saying dada as our first word. Isn't it interesting that baby's first word's often dada, even though mom does all the work? She pushes them out and everything, and it's, you know, dada, okay. All right. But that is sort of the way that works. And I think eventually as we learn to be with God, we learn to say dada more often, right? That's what I think that was about, but, well, that's hard to hear, guys. And because he's not Jesus and he's not in the Bible, I could very easily be like, that's nothing. And, you know, like, just, that's nothing. And so, well, you got these two paradigms. You've got the clear teaching of Don Carson, and then you've got Jason. Both from God. Both from God. Yeah. And, you know, I could have just, and like I said, I mean, I just didn't know any better as a 12-year-old. I just didn't know. But I've tracked with him probably my whole life, and every time I've needed help, there's usually a song that just pops out of nowhere, either on YouTube or someplace else. That's got him. But in any event, over the years, right, I would invite friends to see Jason. And it was kind of like, I kind of just had this thing like, if he's within a 4-mile radius, I'm just going to go see him. And just, I'm just going to go, like, I've never met the guy, but I'm going to go, of course, hear him play. And so I started inviting, like, friends of mine. And as I got older into high school and early college, I was, like, mentoring some younger men. And so they would be going through something, either something that I went through that I recognized. And, oh, there's this great song that I got to show him. And I'd show him the song. And they'd go, Jack, I really appreciate your heart, but that doesn't do anything for me. I'd be like, what? It doesn't do anything for you? I just kind of don't get it. They were just honest with me. I was like, okay, well, I guess. And then I would bring people, like friends of mine, to some of these concerts, and they just go, what are we doing here? Because you tell them it's a worship concert, so they show up. And I realized after a while I had to explain what was going on because they just didn't get it. I'd have to explain. I'd be like, okay, guys, so you're going to come, but it's a worship experience, but you're like not really expected to sing anything. He's going to minister over you. And they're, okay, all right. But I was like, but you can sing something. I'm not holding you back. You're allowed. If he's singing something repetitively and you connect with it, yeah, sing out. But you don't have to. It's just you're here to be ministered to by God, by the Father's love. Okay. And then we'd go, and they still wouldn't get it. They'd be like, I don't get it, Jack. So, okay, well, maybe it's just not for everybody. Maybe it's for me, right? But there is a learning to receive the ministry gift. And so, yeah, this 2 weeks ago, we all sat and asked God for wisdom in our circumstances. I don't know if you remember that. We got trials. We all asked for wisdom. And God was really catching my ear on this. He really catching my ear last week when Dwayne was talking about wisdom and how you get wisdom and what wisdom looks like and insight and foresight and how we continually walk in that process of looking for what God has for us down the road. And that's wonderful. And he brought up one verse. Well, he brought up multiple verses. And the thing that triggered me, and we're going to kind of launch from here today, was this idea that the problem is lack. You know, multiple verses. If anyone lacks wisdom, let him ask for it, right? If when people perish for lack of knowledge, there's it's without vision the people perish. Well, that's a lack of vision. The problem is lack. And because I was asking God, even a couple weeks ago, I was like, okay, God, we're all going to pray for wisdom. We're all going to ask for it. But I don't know how you're going to give it. I trust that you're going to give it to us. I just don't know how you're going to give it to me. How are you going to give it to me? And so this idea of lack hit me, and I'm going, it is right in front of my nose. This whole time, it's right in front of my nose. I just didn't see it. And so now I see it, and I go, oh, that's it, God. Well, no, duh. Okay. Do you ever get those moments with God where you're like, oh, man, how did I miss that? All right, we're going to go back to James 1. This is the verse that we talked about a couple weeks ago. We're going to go back to it because I felt like God lit something up and it might help us here, okay? James 1, verses 2 through 4. Count it all joy. Have you been counting it all joy? Yay! I have most of the time, but yesterday I had a rough day. it's so funny. Yesterday I did not count it all joy. And I'm like, come on, Jack. But I just give it to God and I say, God, can we do better tomorrow? Yeah, that's why you get a new day, right? Count it all joy. My brothers, when you meet trials of various kinds, for you know that the testing of your faith produces steadfastness. And let steadfastness have its full effect, that you may be perfect and complete, lacking in nothing. Right in front of my face. And then he says, if any one of you lacks wisdom, let him ask for it. Well, lacking nothing would also include not lacking in wisdom, would it not? So if we ask for wisdom, he has no problem giving it to us. We might have a problem with receiving it, though, because of the nature in which it comes. Let steadfastness have its full effect, that you may be perfect and complete, lacking in nothing. You know, it's like this. If you want to learn how to swim, you want the wisdom of knowing how to operate in a pool and swim, you have to be in the water. You don't really learn how to swim just by like, just on the table, right? Am I doing it? That's not how it works. You learn how to swim by being in the water. Anybody knows that. God, I need wisdom in my trial. Great, I'm not pulling you out of the trial. You have to learn wisdom. So let steadfastness in your trial, let being steadfast Let being consistent in trusting me and rejoicing in me and worshiping me and walking in it with faith be consistent in that so that it can have its perfect work, so that you can lack nothing, including the wisdom that you need to get through it. Every doggy paddle is necessary to move. You're going to find that as you approach trial after trial, you lean back on God and say, God, I need help. I don't know what to do with this. And he'll say, it's like the next step. It's like sometimes it's not even a step. Sometimes it's just like barely moving your big toe, a half an inch. We're looking for a long gait. Like, I'm here. This trial's heavy. Let's move through this quickly. God, give me the next gigantic leap. We used to, when I was a kid, we'd play this game called Father May I. And I don't know why we'd play these games. It's funny. But it'd be like this thing where my dad would be like, where Eric is over there. And we'd all stand over here. And we'd say, Father, may I take two gigantic steps? And he might say, yes. One, two. Father, may I take five gigantic steps? No. Next person's turn. May I take a baby step? Yep. So God's steps for you are not always the steps you want them to be. Sometimes they're much slower. It makes the process take longer, and we don't like that, but we have to learn to trust him because we're not God. At the end of it all, isn't that the lesson that we're going to learn from this, is that we are not God, and he is? So we don't want to lack something that God has for us. So we don't want to exit suffering or trials of our own accord. We want to exit them with his speed and cadence. And that requires being fed by him, daily bread. God's been working on me with rhythms of life, cadence. This comes from, John's actually helping with this a lot. I tend to be, I'm a little more spontaneous, generally speaking, in life. Maybe it's because of Jason's influence slightly, if I'm just being real. But probably not. I think God made me that way. I really like just, ooh, let's just do this. Like, Saturday morning, sometimes, like, Jana's very structured. I love Jana so much. She's so sweet. I'm so glad she could sit with me today. It's really fun. She's been busy with Annie, but she's here today, so it's fun. She's so structured, and it's great. And our family really needs structure because our kids will, like, explode without it. Like, they need the structure. I probably need the structure, too, but I don't like to admit that. So sometimes it'll be like a Saturday morning, and I'm feeling frisky. I'm like, let's go do something fun. And Jana's like, well, we have this scheduled. We've got this scheduled. We've got this. How is this going to work? And I'm here trying to blow up her plans. Let's just go. Let's go to Chuck E. Cheese with the kids. Well, we've got to get groceries, and there's a birthday party, and there's this, and there's... No, let's just go. I need that structure in my life. And so, God, we need God's structure in our life. I was going someplace with that, and I lost it. Well, this is the nature of that spontaneity of the grace. Sometimes you go places, and you don't know where you're going to land. Oh, God, help me remember it if I need to. Nah, that's gone. He'll bring it back if it's important. Sorry about that, guys. Welcome to our world. Thank you. Oh, that's so great. Thanks, Kathy. That got me. Yeah, anybody over 80 or 70 maybe. Sorry, that's Kathy. Thank you, Kathy. Okay. Can we just throw up the next picture? We'll move on. Sometimes I'll look at Jana. Where was I going with that? Do you know? No, sorry. Okay. All right, next picture. So I've got this picture of this guy. So I made this using AI. That's the fun thing about AI is you can give it instructions and it can make a picture. I had this image in my head of what it looks like and feels like to have joy in the midst of a trial. And what does it look like? Well, I think it looks something like that to me. I don't know. Maybe it looks a little different to you, but that's actually, and I named this because the AI program lets you name it like you're an artist or something, like you actually did the work. Oh, yeah. Jack's piece of art here. I named it Vibrant Hope because I see that in it. I see, it's not really vibrant to be smiling in the sunshine. That sort of makes sense. But to be like in the midst of a fight, the fight of your life, in the midst of just getting blown up by stuff, if you can have joy in the midst of that and you can expect good in the midst of, well, that's vibrant hope. That's vibrant hope. And we have to wait. We have to learn to wait. That's a, well, you're waiting through this. I mean, this is steadfastness, right? It's coming back to the steadfastness. You learn to wait in the middle of the storm. We don't panic. Well, that's maybe it. We don't panic in the middle of the storm. We don't get frazzled. We don't get full of anxiety and go, there's a storm. Jesus, wake up. There's a storm. Jesus is on the boat with you, right? So we don't need to do that. What we can do is have great joy in the middle of that. And maybe Jesus silences the storm, or maybe like in Paul's case, the boat runs all the way onto land and crashes. But we don't have to be terrified because Jesus is with us. And so we can have this sort of vibrant expression in our steadfastness, in this place that's us waiting and standing steadfastly, hoping in him. And so waiting, I have found, for me personally, is like this really, really important thing. I see it in Scripture. You see waiting with Abraham, for sure, waiting on the promise of God, Isaac. You see it with Joseph. God gives him this vision, and he's got to go through all sorts of stuff. It doesn't happen immediately. He doesn't immediately rise to power in Egypt or over his family, no. He has to go through a lot, and there's a lot of waiting involved. Years of it. Years and years and years of it. You know, it's even Moses, probably, right? You look at Moses delivering. Well, he started fighting the Egyptians, and then he got sent away into the wilderness and watched sheep for a while before God called him back. There was probably some waiting in there. He probably was a little bit lost, too. Like, what am I doing out here? That's probably a part of the equation for all these guys a little bit. You might even say Jesus had to wait. He was teaching in the synagogues at 12 years old, and he was enlightening the Pharisees and Sadducees. He was lighting them up. He probably could have taught him at 12, but there was a waiting that the Father had for him. It wasn't at 12. His ministry was supposed to start at 30. You had to wait. Waiting is very much a part of the Christian experience, and what I have found is it's actually, at least in my life, it's like the biggest part. Learning how to wait. How do you wait? How do you do this? We don't like waiting, I have found. We really don't. Partly it's our culture. Just like DoorDash anything on this guy, or drive through, or, you know, get it on the internet. This is something that God is really helping me with this, really helping me. When I have a question about God, where is my first question? It should not be Google. It should not be the internet. Don't go read somebody else's commentary before you pray if you've got a question about God. He can lead you to a commentary. He can say, yeah, go ahead and search it, whatever. But you might be asking a question and seeking out people to give you the answer. Well, that's not God's way. Always pray first because it's too convenient. You got to think back. For like thousands of years, guys, people didn't have the ability to just look something up on the internet. So they had to trust God and say, God, I don't know. Please help me. Right? And this can be a tool. Internet can be a tool, but it can also just be a crutch. And we just lean on it, and then we never learn how to trust him. Okay. So waiting is hugely important. And let's read this. Let's go to Isaiah 40, verses 27 through 31. Yeah, waiting is discussed quite a bit in the book of Psalms, waiting on God. I was reading this, and it just kind of lit up the page for me. So it starts like this. Why do you complain, Jacob? Oh, we need to hear it. I need to hear it. I complain so much, guys. God's still working with me on that. Why do you say, Israel, my way is hidden from the Lord, my cause is disregarded by my God? Why do you say that? Do you not know? Have you not heard? The Lord is the everlasting God, the creator of the ends of the earth. He will not grow tired or weary, and his understanding no one can fathom. He gives strength to the weary and increases the power of the weak. Even youths grow tired and weary, and young men stumble and fall. But those who hope in the Lord will renew their strength. They will soar on wings like eagles. They will run and not grow weary. They will not walk and not faint. I was just struck by this, and I started, well, I've been writing up these ideas about waiting. I just kind of felt inspired to just, I don't know, creatively write some stuff. So let me pull it up here. I think some of this you're going to see in this passage, right? So if we can just pull up these answers. This is stuff that, as I was praying, I felt like God was putting in me, and some of it's in there. Why do we wait? Well, waiting deals with our whining. And I'm just going to read something. I mean, you kind of even heard that at the beginning. Why do you complain, Jacob? Those who wait on the Lord renew their strength. Well, I wrote this. No child should be raised on fast food or quick gratification. Let them whine and not receive. And let it happen enough for them to realize the world does not revolve around them. Only then should they be given more than they had ever thought to ask for. Because the world revolves around the giver's love, not the receiver's demand. Waiting deals with our wrong desires. This isn't something that's necessarily found in the passage we just read, I wouldn't say. But, well, you can decide whether or not you think it's true. No amount of waiting on mom or dad to give you something bad for you will make it happen. No pouting in the corner will be rewarded with the satisfaction of a harmful dessert. Though a child beg and plead, it will never be given because no parent gives in to poison. Only when that child is denied repeatedly will they succumb to the will of the loving parent and realize they don't know better than them. Let's give up this idea that we know it all, right? Which leads into the next one. Waiting deals with our ego. Might be on there, might not. All right, I put control problem. We'll go there first. Well, actually, I got something else. We'll just add it. We'll add it to the list. It's not up there. Waiting deals with our egos. Take this in love, guys, when I say it to you. You're not that important. Every child... Let me just stop, because maybe some context is helpful. You're not that important. I was thinking about Esther... People think about the story of Esther and they go, wow, you know, they remember that quote from Mordecai who says, who knows whether or not God's called you for such a time as this? And it makes Esther sound really important, like, Esther, God called you, you've got this big mission that God's put you here for. But we ignore the part before it, which is that he goes, listen, if you don't do this, you and your family will likely die. Or I think he says you and your family will die. But God will bring salvation to the Jews by another way. And then he says, but who knows whether or not you've come to the kingdom for such time as this. What he's saying there is this. Listen, you doing this is important for you and your family, but it's not important to my sovereign will. God's sovereign will is going to happen with or without you. He doesn't need your help, guys. You need his help. Your family needs his help. He doesn't need your help. You're valuable. You're not that important. Do you understand the difference there? Incredibly valuable. As worth, your worth is like tied to the blood of Jesus. Do you understand that? You are incredibly valuable. God doesn't need your help to fulfill his sovereign purposes on the earth. He can find somebody else. You know what I'm saying? He's God. Now, he wants to partner with you. I'm not taking that away. I'm just saying we need to have the right heart posture here. Are we really the people who are helping him? We really want to have that arrogance. We help God do what he needs to do. Ooh, ooh. If we don't praise him, the rocks will cry out and praise him. He doesn't need our praise. You know what I mean? Okay, so I'll read the rest of it here. Every child needs to gain an understanding while they are absolutely the apple of their parents' eyes, the world does not need them to exist. God's sovereign plan is sovereign with or without them, and therefore, waiting should not be confused with delusional heroism. The child's waiting is not because the world needs them to wait. No amount of waiting earns them high status or rightful passage to the next level. No amount of waiting ensures they will disproportionately impact the world. Waiting when it is good and long will teach the child that they are not being fast-tracked due to their talent or ambition. In fact, the exact opposite is occurring. They are being rescued from their lack of character and lack of wisdom, which waiting will drive into them, like it or not. Next one here, we should keep going. Waiting deals with our control problem. A willful child thinks they know best and therefore seeks control. But being forced to wait for a long time by a loving parent teaches the child that not only do they not know what's best for themselves and others, but that they also do not have control over their life. The frustration, sorrow, confusion, anger, and the root of control problems, which is arrogant pride, are all made manifest and dealt with by the fires of waiting. And after long waiting has left the child utterly resigned to their station of not having control, they stop seeking it. It ceases to matter. All those painful symptoms of pride and pride itself are finally left behind in the dust. Let's maybe pop over here to a verse. Psalm 24, verse 3 through 6. Who may ascend the mountain of the Lord? Who may stand in his holy place? The one who has clean hands and a pure heart, who does not trust in an idol or swear by a false god. They will receive blessing from the Lord and vindication from God their Savior. Such is the generation of those who seek him, who seek your face, God of Jacob. There is a mountain that you're supposed to ascend, and it's the mountain of God. It's this thing where, like, you're coming to him. It brings back, there's pictures of the different mountains. There's Mount Sinai, which is the law, and then there's another mountain, which is, I think, Horeb, am I getting this right? There's another mountain, and that's the mountain that we climb, which is through grace, which comes by grace through faith. And so there is a mountain to be climbed. And so this next one, I wanted to read that before we get to the next one, because sometimes we think we're climbing the right mountain, and we're really not. It said, waiting kills the false dream. But if I could just reach my mountaintop, then everything would be right and I'd be happy. That's idolatry, guys. The child doesn't realize that at the top of the sand dune is just more sand. If the child is overzealous for the climb, if they are unwilling to wait to properly assess the high cost and paltry reward of the climb, they'll spend their life on something God never had for them and realize all too late that they wasted their summer day on a worthless hill of shifting sand. But the father who imposes a long wait on their child does so to shake them loose of their nonsense dreams for what they think they want. He has a full day with a multitude of exciting plans ahead, and he'll make the child wait until they are willing to embrace them, thus killing the foolish dream of conquering the small hill. One more thing, guys, one more. Waiting endears us to God. A good long wait forces us to listen and linger near him. Initially, we may wait pensively as though our desires are 100% good and therefore require his immediate action. Our waiting on him in the early stages of our waiting sometimes looks more like waiting on Santa to give us the presents we think we need. But as the waiting draws on, we go through seasons and rhythms of both beating him with our complaints and then afterwards laying ourselves down again before him. Over and over, this cycle repeats until we give up beating him up. Over and over again, our blows towards him unintentionally lead us to his hands and his side. We see love that took our beating, that our impatience seeks to lay on him again. And we are moved by it in our heart. Suddenly and repeatedly, we remember his love and we give up. That is the true nature of surrender, and it becomes our heartfelt conviction to never lay a blow on him again. We need to wait. We need to wait. It's not just about things not lining up. It's that we need to wait. Like, we need it. Because if we don't learn to wait with steadfast, unwavering conviction, we won't be complete. We'll have a bunch of lack, and in that lack, we'll find ourselves perishing. We need to wait. I We got one more thing we're going to do before announcements. I was thinking about this, praying about this. I've been trying, God's been doing this thing lately where like sometimes I'll wake up with a thought or like wake up with a song, and I'm asking God, what do I do with that? Because it's like kind of a newer thing for me. And so I'm not sure. This is one where I'm not sure, guys. So if this is nothing, it really could be nothing. But I woke up a couple nights ago with this song in my head, and well, I'm thinking about Jason, right? Because I was thinking about explaining some of that this morning. So it's like it could just be me. I don't think it is, though. The more I prayed about it, I was like, I think this is probably God. So, not sure. Give me grace if this is nothing. And also, I just told the guys about it this morning, and so they might not be able to get it to work. It's not their fault if it doesn't work. It's mine, okay? Because I was like playing with this, like, I'm not sure, God. So it's a song, and I'll just leave it at that. Chris, are we able to get it? If not, it's okay. We're going to give them a minute here. Because this is a lot of pressure I put on them at the last minute, and I kind of was like, don't worry about it, guys. I'm not sure, so, but I think maybe. Yeah, we need to wait. We need to wait. Oh, that's it. We need to wait. Yeah. Just a second. Well, that's good. We need it. Yeah. Well, it's funny, too. It's like, you know, you ask for patience. Well, you've heard this in church. Be careful asking for patience. God might give you an opportunity to show it. All right, it's up there. I'll get down.
Yeah. always, always covers me. There your presence always covers me. Oh, your presence always covers me. Your presence always covers me.
Thanks, Chris. Yeah, I appreciate Chris. Yeah, thanks, guys. That was... So anyway, I wanted to play that for you. I just... well, maybe we'll just pray. Hey, God, our hearts are open to you. Even when we lose our way, get started on a path, and you lose track of where you are, God, I just thank you that even in the losing track of where we are, you haven't lost us, and we're not lost. So this is for you. Earlier in the message today, I lost my way. I was going someplace and I got lost. Where am I? What am I doing? I was talking about something. Where is it? I felt like God wanted to tell you that, like, if that's kind of where you're feeling like in life, that's okay. He's still there, and you still have a great rest of your life to go. Just because you're lost, you don't know where you are, and you lost your... It doesn't mean that you don't have a destiny or a purpose. You've still got a really good message to tell. You've still got a really good story to play out. So that is for you, if that's you. Thank you, God, for being willing to help us in our weaknesses. Thank you for being strength when we've given up hope. You rip us back out, and you say, no, we're going to hope again. Thank you for that, Jesus. And thank you for new mercies every morning. I pray blessing over everyone here, your prominent love that is very easy to feel. God, I pray that we would sense and feel your love today and all through the rest of our week. In Jesus' name, amen. Tim, if you can come on up for announcements. While Tim's walking up, I wanted to say one thing too, because I think this is like kind of cool. I was going to say it and I forgot. And as that video was playing, I realized this. I didn't say this. This is true. Like, you guys do realize, like, I don't necessarily, he's impacted my life. I don't agree with everything he believes in, probably doctrinally. I've followed this guy for 20 years, probably. I don't agree with everything he believes. So, because we're working with people here, that's not Jesus, that's a person. And that doesn't mean I'm right or he's wrong. That's not what it means. It just means that we can hear stuff from people who don't have it all together. You can hear stuff from a donkey, guys, if the donkey talks. All right, that's all. Thanks, Tim.
Thanks for listening to our podcast. We hope you leave here closer to the Lord and encouraged in your faith. If you would like to support our ministry, you can go to themergecc.com and click on the donate button at the bottom of the screen. Thank you, and God bless.